Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of 1 John as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Each day, our minds are filled with something. We're going to learn something and glean something, absorb something from life. And so if you're not making a point of those things being the good things of God, from His Word, from prayer, fellowship with the believers, well, most of the stuff that you're going to absorb is going to be a lot of the junk of the world. It's just the way that it's going to happen. You're going to intake these things, and if it's not the things of the Lord, it's going by default to be the things of the world, and it is going to rear its ugly head and cause each and every one of us to stumble. None of us are an exception to these problems. And so he says that he that loveth his brother, and the thought of brother here isn't just your biological brother. It literally would be not just your brothers in Christ and all your neighbors, those that are close to you. We ought to love one another. The Bible says especially them that are of the household of faith. So our love stretches even beyond these walls, beyond these doors, out to the lost and dying world. And the Bible says that if you don't show that love, well, that you're in the darkness even till now. But if you do show that love, you are abiding in the light. You literally are doing God's perfect will for your life by loving one another. And there's none occasion of stumbling in Him. There cannot be fault or error found in demonstrating the love of Christ to another. We will never be held accountable in a negative way before the throne of God for the times that we demonstrated the love of Christ to another. It is always going to be looked upon positively. It will always be rewarded. God keeps track of these things. And it will keep us on that straight and narrow way of God's will for our life by always demonstrating this love. Because it's very hard to fall into that old sin nature when you're actively trying to walk in the love of Christ. It's hard to say those nasty things about that person that you don't like when you're trying to show them the love of Christ. It's hard to turn your ear to gossip when you're trying to show the love of Christ. It's hard to be a discouragement to another believer when you're trying to show the love of Christ. It naturally procures all the opposite, all the goodness. It's an encouragement. It's an uplifting. It's a forgiveness. All these things come because of that love that we have from the Father, because He's taught it to us firsthand. We've experienced it through our salvation. So he says in verse 11, but he that hateth his brother, you're not demonstrating love of Christ here, is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 3 points to note here in this verse that you could have a little sermon outline from about the way that the darkness affects us. One is that we find it affects our place. The Bible says that he that hateth his brother is in darkness. That's the dwelling place. That's kind of where we set up camp. It affects the place where we are currently at in our life. Not only does it affect our place, but it affects our path. He's in darkness and he walketh in darkness. So he's presently in darkness and he continues to tread that path. So it affects our place, it affects our path, and then, if that hasn't sealed the fate enough, it affects our perception. The Bible says not only is he in the darkness, not only is he walking in the darkness, continuing in that way, but he knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. The very way that he's viewing things now has been distorted and changed because of this darkness. It's affected his place, it's affected his path, and it's affected his perception, the way that he interprets events around him, the troubles in his life, and the problems he's facing, or the things other people say to him. Suddenly, it's all interpreted differently because he doesn't know any better. That darkness has literally clouded and changed his perception. And so it's a triple threat that we see there in that verse, the danger of dabbling in that darkness. You've heard the old saying that sin will take you, was it farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You always get more than you bargain for when you play with sin without fail. And here's a great example of that, the effect our place where we are now, our path where we're going, and our perception, the way that we see things. Well, he continues on in verse number 12 to say, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Literally, these new believers in Christ, he's writing unto you, letting you know, you have a fresh start, a clean slate. No matter where you're coming from or what you've done, you have a new start here in Christ Jesus. You've been given a fresh robe of his righteousness, and it's up to you now to make the best of it, to walk in that light. And so we all come at that same starting point, that fresh start. Each and every one of us should be able to look back to that time when we could be that little child knowing that our sins were forgiven for his name's sake, regardless of our education, regardless of our spiritual level of discernment. Our sins are forgiven us for his name's sake. We all get to start right there with that fresh start. Verse 13, he says, I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. They've proven him. They have known him. It's not just a fresh and a new perception that they've been given in life. This is something that they've witnessed some things for a long time now. They're spiritually mature, and they've seen stuff that they ought to be sharing and teaching to these little children. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Well, what would he be saying here? We still wrestle with these things. We still fight these things, but these things of the sin nature and temptations. But if you think the devil fights hard for a soul before that moment of conversion, once he loses that fight, you better believe he's bearing down on them now that, hey, I may have lost their soul for eternity, but I'm going to take what I can get now in this life. God may have them after they die, but I'm going to make sure he doesn't use them for anything good the rest of their life. And there's so many new converts, new believers, that they're led to the Lord and they make that profession of faith. And then they fall by the wayside because there's no discipleship. There's no bringing them alongside to guide them. And they meet in opposition like they have never known once they make that choice to follow Christ. Suddenly, enemies rear their head they didn't know existed. From within their own walls, their own families, co-workers, places that they found refuge for years, suddenly look at them completely different. And they have to make that decision to continue to follow Christ despite the cost, or if they're going to be discouraged and give up. And these young men here are the folks that they've made that choice to continue past that discouragement and grow in Christ. They were once that babe in Christ with the new milk and all, but now they're starting to feast on that meat, the deeper things of the Word, because they've overcome that initial discouragement in their life. Of saying, you've done enough, you've got it, stop and revert back to the way that you were, you're safe now, it's okay. Well, they've overcome that. Well, he says, I write unto you, little children, again, because ye've known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye've known him from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Here he sees no issue whatsoever and repeating his previous sentiment to make sure that everybody knows that he's addressing them for a specific reason. Despite their spiritual level of maturity, this message is to each of them. There's something for everyone to glean.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.